Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14, verse 17. John 14, 17. And I'll begin reading in verse 15. Our Lord says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that hath my commandments and doeth them, he it is that loveth me. Well, the commandments there are not the Ten Commandments. It's not the Old Testament law. It's the New Testament law. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that ye should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by his Spirit, which he hath given us. Well, how does he give us his Spirit? There are some folks that say, well, it's by the second definite work of grace. Well, it's not. It's by him putting his Spirit within us. He said, I will put my Spirit within you. We receive the Holy Spirit when God puts his Spirit within us. And to us, the Spirit of God is a Spirit of truth, so that we know the truth when we hear the truth. It's a Spirit of life that causes us to live unto God. It's a Spirit of faith that causes us to believe the Word of God. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Look at Colossians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and I'll read it. It says, I am crucified with Christ. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. Well, in the reckoning of God, the whole body of Christ, all believers of all ages, all the elect of God who were chosen in the covenant of grace in eternity past, All those folks were nailed to the cross in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were members of his body. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ lived by his Spirit. By the Spirit of the living God, Christ lives in his people. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is absolutely essential to the preaching of the gospel and to the hearing of the gospel. Because a man cannot preach the gospel without the Spirit of God sent down, nor can anybody hear the gospel without anointed ears. We have to have an anointed mouth and tongue to speak the word of God, and we have to have anointed ears and heart to hear the word of God. The mind, mouth, and heart of the preacher must be anointed with the Spirit of God in order that his words or preaching will have any efficacy, power, or strength. Look at 2 Samuel 23:2. 2 Samuel 23:2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. When a person actually is enabled and empowered to preach the gospel, it is because God puts his word in our mouth and in our tongue. And it carries weight. It is efficacious unto the end whereunto God has purposed to send it. It does what God has intended for it to do. And it does not fail. Look at 1 Peter 1:12. 1 Peter 1:12. Having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas, I'm in chapter 2, let me get back in. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. It's the same way today. If God will get a message to somebody, he'll send a preacher. He'll put that message in his mind and heart and in his mouth, and then he'll enable him to preach that message. And that person will come in direct contact with the Word of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. He's the Spirit of truth, and we worship God in spirit and truth. If the truth is not in the message, then there'll be no liberty in the message. If the preacher gets up and he preaches a lie to the people of God, he'll have no liberty. He'll be confounded You'll just make an awful mess of things. And that's exactly what's going on in most of the churches today. They preach about a God who wants to and who has made it possible for men to be saved. And they deny that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ actually in itself saved anybody. But it did. He saved his people from their sins. Look at John. Look at John 6:63. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or gives life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When the Lord speaks to some of his people, by the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit carries that message to their heart. And because of the truth that's in them, they are able to hear that message. Well, how does the truth get in them? By the Spirit of truth, which God freely gives them. Look at 3 John. The third general epistle of John. Let me read the first few verses. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Well, the truth was in this man. Actually, the truth is in all the people of God after regeneration, because of the Spirit of truth that is given to them, that allows them and enables them to hear the truth and to believe the truth. And it makes them willing to hear and believe the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Look back at 1 Peter 1:11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and of the glory that should follow. So those who effectually preach the gospel preach it by the Spirit of the living God. And it's like he spoke to Zerubbabel and said, it's not by your strength, nor by power, nor by your power. It's not by our eloquence, nor our great oratory ability, but it's by the Spirit of the living God that things that are accomplished are accomplished. It's by the almighty operation of God, the Holy Ghost. He is absolutely essential to the hearing and preaching of the Word of God. In addition to the fact that the preacher's faculties of speech have to be anointed, so it is true that the that the faculties of hearing or our ears must be anointed in the hearers. The heart of the hearers must be anointed with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that is in and with the preacher. Positively, this is set before us in 1 John 2:20. Look at 1 John 2:20. And I'll back up and read just a little bit before that. And we begin at verse 18, where he said, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Well, look over at verse 22. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Anyone who denies any of the truth about the Father and the Son is of Antichrist. The doctrine of Christ. "They went out from us, but they were not of us." That is, the Antichrist went out from us, but they were not of us. "For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us." Well, here's "they" and "us." They are the children of the wicked one. Us are the children of God. And who are the children of God? They are they whom God, the Holy Spirit, visits and gives them the truth and plants the truth in their heart and causes them to believe the truth. "They went out from us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." They were never part of the children of God. The children of God never become the children of the devil, and the children of the devil never become the children of God. Sheep is sheep and goats is goats. "But ye..." Now look at this, verse 20. "But..." Now the Antichrist went out. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One." You, believers, have an anointing of the Holy Ghost from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are anointed with the Holy Ghost by the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know all things. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Father and the Son. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." That is, the Spirit of God abideth in us. Now, in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would come upon men as he did Samson and different ones. But in the New Testament, after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is given us forever. And he stays with us. He's, as it was in John 14, he is with you, but he shall be in you. Well, today, God has put him in his people. And it is by him that we believe the gospel. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Well, what is it to doeth? What is it to doeth righteousness? What is that? Doeth righteousness. That is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is doing righteousness. His righteousness, the righteousness of God, is imputed to us through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if doing righteousness is keeping the law, then why would he have needed to come into this world to establish righteousness, which he did according to Daniel 9:24? He shall bring in everlasting righteousness. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, or the justified, or those who have a justifying righteousness before God, are justified by faith. Look at 1 Corinthians. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom or by the world's wisdom, knew not God. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? But wasn't by our wisdom or by anything about us that caused us to believe the gospel and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, we believe what we can hear. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. We believe what we can hear by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We cannot hear this message by the natural ear. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them. And the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Believers hear what they believe.
Yeah.
We don't believe what we hear. We hear a lot of things. But we believe that truth that is put in our heart when the Holy Spirit is freely given unto us. And His and Himself links up with what we hear, if we're hearing the truth. And therefore we can hear it. Look at Matthew, I think it's Matthew 13:26. Matthew 13:26. No, that's not it. Let me see if I've got it here in my notes. Matthew 13:16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. When you hear the truth, it means something to you. It goes to your heart. And the truth that's in your heart by the presence of God the Holy Spirit links up with that truth that you hear with this ear. And you know that's the truth. So believers hear what they believe. You have anointed ears and anointed eyes because they see, and anointed heart because it can understand what the Spirit says to the churches. The word of truth must be mixed with faith in the hearts of the hearers if it is to produce the precious fruit of eternal life. Brother Jerry read in the beginning, John chapter 5, verses 19 through 29. And in Romans 8, 2, he said, let's turn to read that. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit of life communicates to us eternal life. We live unto God, and we are enabled to hear and believe His testimony that's given to us here in the Scripture. Faith is the gift of God, and faith is given in accordance with the terms of the everlasting covenant of grace. Faith is given to the persons for whom it is intended. It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Well, faith is the gift of God, and He gives it to whom He will. And we do not have faith without the gift of God. And therefore, it is sure to all the seed. Faith is imparted, being the blessed fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5:22 through 26. Galatians 5:22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, that was one of the commandments, that you believe on His, and this is His commandment, that you believe on His Son and love one another. Well, fruit of the Spirit is love. So if we have the Spirit of God, then we love the truth. We love our brethren. We love to hear the gospel preached. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. How do you know that God's given you the Holy Spirit? By faith. If you can believe the gospel, God has given you the Holy Spirit. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and love. In whomsoever the Spirit of God is put, his fruit and effect will certainly be experienced. Look at, turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. And let's begin reading at verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. In other words, I'm going to give you a justifying righteousness that was established by God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. A new heart also will I give you. Some people say that, well, if we dismiss the law and if we don't thrash people with the law and put them under the law, then the floodgates of sin will be opened. Well, that's just not true. The law increases sin. If you go out here and dam up the creek somewhere, then that water is just going to keep on building up and building up and building up behind it until it overflows. Well, that's the way the sin, and that's the way sin and law is. The motions of sin, which is by the law, did work in me to bring forth fruit unto death. The law is the strength of sin. So if you want to produce a lot of sin, put people under the law. But if you'd like to produce a kinship to Christ, a godly walk like the Lord Jesus Christ, and a holy walk, then give that sinner a new heart. A heart that has the law of God written on it, and that law will be the law of his heart. And he will delight to walk in the ways of God. There's how holiness is established. It's not by our slavish trying to keep the law. It's by us walking in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, in our hearts being obedient, loving children of God. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Not our slavish obedience. Back to Ezekiel 36. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. Now that's the second time he said that. That must be important. Notice how he does it. I'm going to put my spirit in you. I don't ask you anything about it. I don't need your consent. You won't be asking for it. I'm found by them that sought me not. You don't go fetch the Holy Spirit. God said, I will put my Spirit within you. And when He does, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. You'll have a new delight, and that will be to seek to please your Father. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Not perfectly, because he doesn't remove all of the iniquity and sin and filthiness of sin that's in us. Not in our steps, not in our walk are we perfect, but in our standing, in our position before God, in our state as we experience it, we're still sinners. But in our position before God, we are made the righteousness of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, according to some preachers, they say, well, isn't it kind of dangerous to tell people that they're made to, well, they can just do anything. Well, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do anything you want to do. Do what you want to do in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. And you're free as a bird. You're not bound. You're not locked up. But you're free. He that the Son shall make free is free indeed. Look at look on down to verse 37, chapter 37. Now, we're all a bunch of dead sinners by nature. These dead bones in Ezekiel 37 are a picture of us by nature. We're spiritually dead as those dry bones that laid out there in the sun was bleached out white. And if they banged against one another, they tingled like a bell. And the prophet said, Lord, said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Well, again, he said unto me, prophesy unto thee upon these bones, saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Well, how can a dry bone hear the word of the Lord? If God enables it to hear, it'll hear. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put my breath in you, that is his Spirit, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Look at who's doing all this. I will lay sinews upon you. So it's the work of God the Holy Ghost in us. The effectual teaching of the Holy Ghost is the cause. It is the immediate, efficient cause of the change of heart and life of his pupils. Now, the first procuring cause, or the first cause, is the will of God. The change in life of a new believer is the will of God, the eternal will of God, that eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. That is the first cause. The procuring cause, that which purchased all of these spiritual gifts for us, is the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the immediate, efficient cause is the power of God, the Holy Ghost. It is he that puts a new walk and you want to, a new nature within us. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Now, what a wonderful relationship is that, that we should be called the sons and people of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John 3:1. And I will give them one heart. Well, that's the new heart. I'll give them a new heart. And one way, that they may fear me forever. Now, the fear here is a reverential awe and love and respect for God in the Trinity of His persons. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. In other words, I will establish it to them. It's an everlasting covenant. It stood forever. It's from eternity. But it reaches out to us in its strength. We are the children of the covenant, the children of promise. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, but I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. The Lord will give us all things. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness by the redemption that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. And He hath given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are rich beyond our wildest imagination. We can't begin to comprehend what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's purchased for us by His shed blood. These truths are not opinions in the lives of the people of God. They are realities in the lives of those to whom the Spirit of truth is given. They're not options. They're truth for what we have. I in them, thou in me, that the world may believe that thou sent me. Amen. Brother.
Take our song books and turn to song number 199. Christ receiveth sinful men. 199. Sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful. sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful man. Come and he will give you rest. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinfulest. Christ receiveth sinful man. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful man. Now my heart condemns me not. Pure before the law I stand. He who cleansed me from all spot satisfied its last demand. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful man. Christ receiveth sinful man. Even me with all my sin. Purge from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful man.
Amen. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Let me make an announcement. Yeah. There is a yellow jacket's nest over the door out there in our fellowship hall. So be careful if you go out there.
Again, huh?
Yep.
They like that spot.
This is a yellow jacket. It's not just a wasp's nest.
Okay.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for what we've heard this morning. We ask, Lord, what's yours? Give us freedom, Lord, to talk to other people, especially those, Lord, that ask. Be with us, go with us, as your will. Bring us back at the appointed time again. For we ask in thy name, in thy sake, and amen.
Amen.